Sfarno Parshas Emor. So the Parsha begins with discussing the halachas of a kohen, who he could be metame to or who he cannot be metame to. So it says in Pasuk Dalid, Lo yitame baal ba'amav lehechalo. So what does that mean? It means that the kohen can't become tame, but how? How does it mean that? So the Sfarno says that this baal ba'amav is a way of saying a chashuv agai. Which is really what Unkla says. It says, Rabba Va'ame. But a Baal Ba'amo, that's what it means. A Choshev Agai can't become Tamei, to be Mechal his Kedusha. Why is that? So here we have the concept, a little bit of Shtoltz, to some extent. I mean, not really, but throughout this Parsha, it seems a little bit like that idea, that a Kohen is supposed to be the teacher of Torah too. Kisif Se Kohen Yishmur Das V'Tari V'Vakshim Yipiru, the Sfarno quotes again. That the Kohen is supposed to be the teacher of Torah. And someone like that, he has to, not be mechal his ability to serve in the Mikdash at any time. And since honoring, you know, doing Levayas, that's the, we paskin, is Yakar Deshachvei. It's the honor of the dead person that we're doing primarily. And therefore, he doesn't have a right to do that for Stam people, only for a Karov, because their Kavod is his Kavod. For one of the close krovim. Other than that, to be mechal his kedusha, for them, for some other people, he should not. He has to keep himself ready to do the avoda. And in pasuk vav, when it says v'lo yichallelu shem elokeim, that's after it says don't be metame, and it says to not rip out some hairs over a mace. Then it says they should be kodesh, they shouldn't be mechal Hashem Elokim, so he says that means to say even if they're mochel. He just said, right with this one, just explained that the psukim, that this is all for the covet of the Kohen. So what if he's mochel? The answer is it's not him, he's not able to be mochel, like a king can't be mochel in his covet. Because the covet of the Kohen is the covet of Hashem. And if they're mochel, it's like a king being mochel. Now you could ask, obviously, so why isn't he more like a rav or a father who can be mochel other kvodim? I don't know the answer. You can think for yourself what you think the answer is. Maybe Cohen's not quite, he's not obviously not exactly a Rebbe. Maybe he's a little more closer to a melech, somewhere in between, not quite a melech either, obviously. Who knows? I don't know, I'm just saying that's what he says. They have no, that this pasuk saying, but like halos elo keim, means it would be a chel Hashem for them to be mochel on their kavod. At least that way, to be metam in the mace. Okay, then we have another rule about Kohanim. Again, that's why I say it. A lot of this sounds a little schtoltzy, a little bit like schtoltzy, you know, like just what we would call, I don't know if you'd call it pump and pageantry, and like the way you serve the king has to be in a fancy way, but that's the idea here. The Kohen can't be a balmum. Why not? Kohen can't be missing a leg, or even any kind of balmum. Whatever, Kohen can't be a balmum. As it describes what the official momim are, and work in the Beis HaMikdash. So the Sfarno says here something interesting. He says, because it says, Kein lovol shar hamelech b'levosh sak. The pasuk he uses to prove this is that it says you can't, by Mordechai, it says that he was dressed in sackcloth, so he could not approach the king's palace, because Ein lovol shar hamelech b'levosh sak. You're not allowed to approach the king's gate when you're not dressed properly. So, then the footnotes in the Sefer I'm reading here point that, you know, just think the example is on purpose. You know, because when you first hear, most people, I think, when they first hear this thing that a Kohen can't be a Baal Mum, everyone is a little bit like, well, why not? You know, you can't be a lefty. Literally, that's a Mum. Why can't you be a lefty? Like, well, what's wrong with, I mean, it's a Mum, okay, officially it's a Mum. Like, so? And what if he's missing an arm? And what? Why are these Mumim important? I should just mention that Rebbe of mine, Rabbi Berkowitz, this is not this far, no, but I'm just mentioning it anyway, said that it's, you know, the Kohen is supposed to be doing stuff that affects things in Shemayim in a real way. So he gave a mushal of if you have a model house and imagine that when you open the door to the model, and it's a model of an actual house, and when you open the front door of the model house, the door of the real house opens. So it's like a remote control kind of thing. And if you open the window of the model house, the window of the real house opens. So that's kind of what it's like when a kohen does avodah in the Beis HaMikdash, that he's affecting things in Shemayim. When he does certain actions, those, you know, the Beis HaMikdash Shalmat is mechuvin, connected the Beis HaMikdash Shalmalel, everything is parallel. So when the kohen does stuff, it affects things in Shemayim. Well, what if there was no door on the model house? Then you can't open the door upstairs. So that's how he explained it. I just wanted to throw that in because I liked it. Anyway, but what the Sforno explains is, it's like being in the Vosh Melech, Vosh Sak. That is, Mordechai, if he was, presumably, he was respected in the king's palace. There's numerous stories, Midrashim or whatever. He was respected in the king's palace. So, someone who can get into the king's palace, what do they care if you're wearing a sackcloth? The answer is, I don't care how smart you are, and I don't care how wonderful you are, and even though how you're dressed is something very chitoniastic, it doesn't matter, because the covenant of Machas, we can't have it. So it sounds like what he's saying. Similarly, the Kohen, who is a Baal Mom, even though it's not the Kohen's fault, he may have even been born without an arm. But still, you can't come to the gate of the Melech, the Shah Melech Blavashak. You can't come looking inappropriate, because it's a lack of the covet for the Melech, and therefore, a Kohen Baal Mom can't do the Avoda. Now there are Mumin for a Behema, and one of them is it can't be a Sris. So the pasuk says miyad ben nichar lo sakrivu. So the Sforno says that you can't take even things from them that they don't consider to be a mum, like it's mesuris, like it's spayed and neutered. For the goyim, that's a mila. You know, it's not a negative. It's not a mum at all. So it doesn't matter. In other words, even though you'd say there's no issue, like he says, if hakrinaveu nalafachasecha, it's not like a lower level carbon in the sense of the animal or how much it's worth, the fact that it can't have kids, but to us it's a mum, and therefore that's the chiddush miyad ben echer, even if it's a lower level, if it's, even though the animal itself is not worth less, maybe even it's worth more, but if it's something, if it's a mum we don't accept, and even from a guy to him, it's not a mum, it doesn't matter. Okay, and then it says that, after, you know, as we've said a million times, the Sforno knows a lot about connecting what was one pasuk have to do with the next. So we have the parsha of the Mumin, followed by the parsha of Osuv Esbeno, and the Yisr Mechusar's Man, which comes first. First is the Yisr Mechusar's Man, you have to wait till the eighth day before you bring a carbon. Then also Osuv Esbeno, you can't do Osuv Esbeno Shecht, a mother, according to some of father, but at the very least a mother and the child, the same day. So what do those all have to do with each other? So he says they all have to do with shlemus. That is, I'll read you his words because it's important. In other words, sometimes you may have a mum that does, so what? Like it's worth more than the non-mum cow. You can have a small cow with no mum and a huge cow with a tiny mum, and the huge cow with the tiny mum is worth a whole lot more than the little cow with no mum. Doesn't matter. Because this is Bob reading to you his words. Zehu ki atur tamim palo. Hashem is perfect. Chafetz bitzmimus ushlemus hanikra v'hamakriv. Hashem wants this, the perfectness, therefore, and the shlemus of both the one bringing the carbon and the thing being brought. Because we want this to be most godlike. So too, there are rules and procedures about when you can bring things. When's too early, when's too late. So there's an Isser Mechusar's Man next, and then there's an Isser of Sobes Beno. Then there's the Isser of Ashchita Chutz's Man, doing a carbon Chutz's Man, or having in mind that you're going to bring it after the time. So all those are just examples of rules, that if you want to be like Hashem, you can't just fudge it. You can't be too much, you can't be too little. You have to be exactly what the Ribbono Shel Olam wants, and then you reach shleimus. And any more or any less doesn't work. So these are all rules about a mum, which to us may not be important, but it's a lack of shleimus. And when you bring it, at what time, all these have to do with shleimus, and that's how we're mizdamet to Hashem, who is perfect. And all this, it ends off with that Hashem is motzi eschem eretz Mitzrayim, that Hashem is elokim ani Hashem. Hashem took us out of Mitzrayim. How did Hashem take us out of Mitzrayim? Directly. Awesome miracles. So that's why Hashem took us out of Mitzrayim. The open miracles was the way Hashem deals with, supernatural things, supernatural people. So when we walk with Hashem's Kedusha, So then we can expect supernatural things. Hamotzi Yischem Eretz Mitzrayim Liyoschem Lelokim. He took us out of Mitzrayim for him to be a Hashem for us, to act as our God, to be our God, and without any emtsa'i, this verse says, without anything in between, direct intervention by Hashem, we can expect amazing things. That has to be only when we're following Hashem's Torah mitzvos completely. Or following Hashem's Torah mitzvos. Once we have that, like the pasuk says, "Kimei tzeitzcha meretz Mitzrayim erenu neflaos." If we're fully following Hashem's mitzvos, then we'll see open miracles. Okay, now we have the parsha of the Moadim. So again, Sforno has to explain to us the connection. So we were just talking about how through the Kohanim and the Karbanos we will have the Shechina Shura b'Yisrael through the Mishkan. So too, through the Moados, it will cause the Shekhinah to rest on Klal Yisrael. So first we start off with Shabbos, which is, he says, Kula LaHashem. How do you like that? Right, the Yomim Tovim are Chetzi LaHashem, Chetzi V'Lachem. Half of it is for Hashem, half of it is for you. But Shabbos, it says, by Shabbos, Sheshis Yomim Tavod, V'Yom Ashriyi Shabbos LaHashem Elokecha. Shabbos is totally for Hashem. And he says, his words are, Shetishpos mimalachtcha, you'll stop earth, v'yiyya iskecha, kulu l'Hashem elkecha. Your whole Isik that day will be all for Hashem. As opposed to holidays is half for you, half for Hashem. And why the holidays called Mikra'i Kodesh? Because he says the word Mikra doesn't mean what you maybe think it sounds, and when you think it is. Rather, it means when the people get together. Asifas ha'am, that's called a Mikra. I guess when everyone announced we should all get together, almost like an invitation, you're calling a get-together. So it's called Mikra'i Kodesh, are the ones the times we get together. That's what the words mean. Mikra, a Mikra is when we get together. As he says, the pasuk says in Yeshaya, Chodesh v'Shabbos kro Mikra. It means it's a get together. It's when Jews come together. That's Mikra'i Kodesh, holy times to come together. So those are good when they're Mikra'i Kodesh, when they are gettings together for Kodesh. But if it's Mikra'i Chol, and his words are, "Be'esek b'chayesha v'tanugus b'nihadam b'vad," and all people are doing is eating and drinking. So then, lo yiyu moadai. Then they are not moadai. Rather, they are like the other pasuk says in Nach, "Moadechem son of Nafshi." Your holidays, they were. My soul hated, Hashem says. That's for Shalom. So we have to be doing the holidays, the Yomim Tovim, as LaHashem. At least half of it, but if it's kulo for our own pleasures, and then it's not a good, that's not good. That's mo'adechem son of nafshi. Okay. Now, Pasuk Gimel says, that you rest on the seventh day. It's a mikra kodesh. Bechol moshoseichem. Wherever you are. What's the chiddush of that? Why wouldn't it be wherever you are? So the Sforno says, even though the first Shabbos of Bereshis was not like this. Because wherever you are, it's probably not exactly the same as Shabbos Bereshis this year, this week, right? Some days the days are longer, sometimes the Shabbos are shorter. It's not exactly the same. So how am I going to keep Shabbos if it's not the same as Shabbos Bereshis? The answer is because Hashem said so. It doesn't matter. You have to keep the Shabbos based on it when the times are where you are. But that's the Chiddush of B'chol Moshoseichem. We don't say I only keep it like it was the first Shabbos Bereshis, which is this is coming to remind us of, rather you go with wherever you are. Okay, now when it comes to Shavuos, and Sfira and Shavuos, which we are in now, probably whenever you listen to it, that'll still be true, for Parshas Emor. So he says, he mentions the Ketzir HaOmer, and the Sfiras Shavuos. And what the story is that at the time of Pesach is the time of, the barley, barley harvesting starts then, and then the Shavuos starts the wheat harvest. So anyway, but it's a time to, as the Karban Omer, it's a time to daven on that it should be Matzliach, the crop should be Matzliach. And that's when you're bringing the Karban Omer, you're davening that the crops should be Matzliach. And then when you get to Shavuos, you bring the Shtei Halechem, which is about the wheat crops, that they did well. So again, the Karban Omer is a davening that the grain should be Matzliach. You're giving thanks that Hashem gave you the Omer product, But you're also davening that all the other crops, all the wheat crops should be matzliach. So it's a tefila al asid. And get this, this is the big chiddush. The sfira was a remembering for tefila every day. Meaning a remembrance for that tefila. When you brought the carbon omer, that was also a tefila that the wheat crop should be successful. So you bring the omer when you count the omer every day. So that's to remind you of that tefila every day that the crop should be matzliach. Whether it's the barley crop that has started or the wheat crop that's coming. And every day when you count Sefiras Omer, you're supposed to be remembering that. And like we said, when you bring the carbon shtei alechem, that's on the wheat crop that had done well. And he says it's like a carbon toda, because a carbon toda you'll do, you bring lachmi toda. So this is like a carbon toda when you bring the lachmi toda and shuas, it's like a carbon toda. That's why it has that giving thanks on the wheat that did well. Okay, then we're talking about Rosh Hashanah. On Rosh Hashanah, we blow the shofar. Why? Listen to this. Because since Hashem is Yosia Kisei Din on Rosh Hashanah, as we all know, we're supposed to be very happy with our king. So you blow the trumpets like for the king. It says, Zichron Chuas Melech. Remember that Hashem is the king. And why are we so happy that day that Hashem is the king when he's sitting in judgment on us? And the answer is, because we know Hashem will be Mate Klape Chesed. We know Hashem will, if it's close, Hashem will put us over the edge. And it's like, we know like Hashem's on our team. So that's why we're extra happy. So he says, Rosh Hashanah is a happy day. Because we know Hashem is our king, and that means that he's gonna look out for us and make us pass. And then, interestingly, Yom Kippur is the opposite. Well, I don't know if the opposite is the right word to say. But I always thought of Yom Kippur as a happy day, you just don't, eat. So as Farnder describes it, it's a day of being misvada and being sad about your, or being, lehisone, to feel bad about your sins. Ve'eno yom simcha v'tainug. Okay, it's not a day of tainug renew, but he also says it's not a yom simcha, which is very surprising to me. Balhu yom inug, he says. Right, the Gemara says that there were never happier days of Yom Kippur, but anyway, he says it's not a day of Simcha, rather, or an Oneg, it's rather a day of Inui. Okay, then he talks about Shmini Atzeres. Why is it called Shmini Atzeres? Why is it called Atzeres? And he says, because it's the last holiday of all the holidays, Pesach, Sukkah, Shavuos, all ends after 7 days of Sukkot. And therefore Hashem says, that's a day that the Simcha should be a Simcha of Torah and Maisim Tovim, when we have Simcha's Torah, but it's supposed to be a day of Torah and Simcha's Maisim, and Maisim Tovim, as it says, Yismach Yisrael. But also he says that it especially has to be, basically, just to say it again, he describes Shmini Atzeres as if it's Bahab. I don't know if you're familiar what Bahab is. Bahab is, some people have the community or some shuls have the custom to say Slichos on the Monday, Thursday, and Monday after Pesach and after Sukkot, and not whatever, basically afterwards. And the reason for this is sometimes during the holidays people sin because it's so many days of Mishta, people come to sin. So the Sfarno says that's Pshat and Shmini Atzeres, because it's the last of all the holidays. And he quotes from Iyov, it says Vahiki Kifu Yimei Mishta, when there was a lot of days of Mishta, and Vayishach Iyov Vayikachim and Vishkam Baboka Vehele Olos. He brought Olos, Iyov did, because Kiyomar Iyov Ulai Chatulana, maybe my sons sinned. So because of the Simcha of all the other holidays in the last 7 days of Sukkot, therefore Hashem made this last day, not like we're used to hearing, but rather this Sfarno is saying that the purpose of this holiday, Shmini Atzeres, is to help us do tshuva for any sins that happened during the Regalim. Okay, now, Shavuos is also called, in Chazal, it's called Atzeres, but not in the Chumash. And the Sfarno explains because Shavuos was the day that we were supposed to get the Torah. It was supposed to be Atzeres, where we all get together and get the Torah. But, so that's why Chazal called it Atzeres. However, the Torah isn't called it Atzeres, because that's when Klal Yisrael did the Chet HaEgel. So therefore that messed it up. So therefore the Torah didn't want to call it Atzeres, but that's what it was. It wasn't Atzeres to get the Torah on Shavuos. And then we have that the lighting of the Neros and the Keteris, those are all technically kosher with any kind of coin. However, by both of them, it says, Yarocho so hakoin, it's in Perek Chavtal, Pasuk Gimel, Yarocho so Aaron, it always says Aaron. I said Kohen, I don't know what I said, but anyway, the Pasuk says Aaron. Yarocho so Aaron, has to be Aaron himself, that means a Kohen Gadol. So it sounds like there's a requirement for Hadlakas Haneros, the lighting the candle, the menorah, and bringing the Ketores to be Aaron a Kohen. But we know that's not true. It's mutter even for a Kohen Hedyot. But the Sharon explains that it had to be Aaron, but only during the times in the Chumash. In other words, when you're dealing with the level that when the Shekhinah comes, I'm sorry, when Avod is doing done well, the Shekhinah actually comes. So that was a very high level Gilui Shekhinah at that time. So therefore, every day in the Mishkan of Aaron was like a day on Yom Kippur in the Beis HaMikdash. So when you would have the Hadlakas Haneros, all the type of stuff you would need a Kohen Gadol to do on Yom Kippur is what we need a Kohen to do every day in the Midbar, because it was on a higher level. That was like a constant Gilui Shekhinah, so it always had to be Aaron a Kohen who did things like this.